In this episode of Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig, we're going to help you with adverbial clauses, linkers, and conjunctions.
If you're a new listener to this award-winning podcast, you're very welcome. With over 40 years of teaching between us, Craig and I will help you improve your English and take it to the next level.
My name's Craig.
And my name's Reza.
And before we dive in and speak about adverbial clauses, linkers and conjunctions, we have some audio feedback from Edu from Peru. Hello, Edu. Let's listen to his audio feedback.
Hello, Craig and Reza. I'm Edu. I'm from Peru in South America. And, well, I'm speaking to you just to say hello, to say thank you, because I sometimes listen to podcasts, and most because I want to participate in your meeting, in your speaking meeting. So I hope I can do tomorrow. Well, tomorrow because I'm in Peru, but today for you because you're in Spain. So I will wait for your acceptance. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Edu, for your message. I did speak to you. You did join our chat a few weeks ago, our English chat, and it was lovely to speak to you again. And just to remind everybody that usually on Tuesday or Wednesdays, but not every week, there's a free English conversation chat that I do on the internet with some lovely Spanish speakers from all over the world who are practicing their English online. If you're interested in joining us, go to inglespodcast.com and sign up for our newsletter, and I will send you the link of the video chat that we use to speak to each other. If you're interested in free chat and to practice your conversation, then join us. You're very welcome. And I also post on Facebook at Mansion Inglés Facebook page and on Twitter at Mansion Twit to tell you the dates and the times of these conversations. So thank you for your message, Edu, and I look forward to seeing you again in a future chat.
We also have some listener feedback from Bruno Chiavida from Brazil. He writes, "My name is Bruno, and I'm from Brazil, but recently living in Copenhagen. My weak side has been adverbial clauses and linkers. I would really like to go through that. For now, I wish you all a great Friday. All the best, Bruno." Well, it might not be Friday when you're listening to this, but thank you, Bruno, all the same.
Yeah, thank you for your email, Bruno, and I'm sorry it's taken so long for us to answer your question. You've been waiting very patiently. We did speak about linking words in episode 55, words like but, even though, although, however, in spite of, despite, those kind of words. So you can go to inglespodcast.com/55 to listen to that. But we thought, Reza and I thought we'd look more closely at adverbial clauses and linking words in this episode. Reza, what are adverbial clauses for people who don't know?
Sounds complicated, doesn't it? But it isn't really. An adverbial clause is a group of words which does what an adverb does. Adverbial clauses, like all clauses, contain a subject and a verb. So if there's a part of a sentence which has a subject and a verb, you can call it a clause. And if it has an adverb, well, then it's an adverbial clause.
Can you give an example?
Sure. "I eat dark chocolate daily," said Craig.
I should give the example. "I eat dark chocolate daily."
Actually, it's not true. I believe you've cut down on chocolate. Is that right, Craig?
Well, in theory, for the public, I've cut down on dark chocolate. To cut down means to reduce the amount I eat because I need to lose weight. Yeah. But between you and me, I'll tell you a secret. I've got some dark chocolate in my sock drawer.
That is a very dark secret.
I do keep some chocolate in my sock drawer where I keep my underwear and my socks at the back. I have to change it now in case anybody finds it, but there is some chocolate there secretly kept for emergencies.
Yeah. You could have a very unpleasant surprise if you attempted to be so secretive that you ate that chocolate with the light off. You might have a mouthful of sock, and then that would not be as nice as dark chocolate, would it?
The smell usually guides me.
Yes, I am.
I'm guided by the smell.
You don't often smell your sock and think, yes, this is 80% Ecuadorian. No.
It's 80% synthetic material.
Nylon, 80% nylon, rather than 80% cacao from Ecuador.
So going back to the podcast and away from the chocolate, I eat dark chocolate daily. Is that an adverbial clause?
Sure, because we have a clause with a subject verb, I eat, and we have an adverb daily.
Right.
There you go.
So daily there is a normal adverb, yeah?
Yeah.
Daily, every day. What about this example? I'm going to eat dark chocolate until you tell me to stop.
Aha. Well, we have until you tell me to stop. All of that, we could say, is an adverbial clause.
So all of those words, until you tell me to stop, has replaced daily.
Yes.
Right.
So all of those words, until you tell me to stop, that's six words. That's one adverbial clause.
That's clear. So let's look at some more examples, see if the listener can guess the adverbial clause. What about this sentence? I never knew how wonderful life could be until I started podcasting. What's the adverbial clause in that sentence?
Until I started podcasting. What about this one? I'll let you know as soon as I publish this episode.
As soon as I publish this episode, that's the adverbial clause. So these adverbial clauses seem to come right after the verb. Know is the verb. I'll let you know as soon as I publish this episode. So after the first verb, is that always true?
Not always. What about this one? Now that we've eaten, we can have some of that chocolate cake.
Ah, right. So there the adverbial clause is now that we've eaten.
It comes before the main clause, which is the second part. The main clause, the principal clause, is the second part. And the adverbial clause comes first in that one.
And these adverbial clauses that we've mentioned seem to have time expressions like until I started podcasting, as soon as I publish this episode. Now that we've eaten. Do they always speak about time, these adverbial clauses?
Many do, but not all of them. For example, we might want to talk about contrast using an adverbial clause. For example, Craig said, I had some chocolate cake even though I was full.
Sounds right.
Even though I was full is an adverbial clause. Even though tells us that the clause is about contrast. So I had some chocolate cake. I was full. Well, normally you shouldn't eat anything else if you're full. So even though contrasts the two ideas.
Okay. Yeah. Even though I was full, I had some more chocolate cake. Also cause and effect with this example. I've put on weight this month because I've been eating so much cake. So the cause is the cake, the effect I put on weight. I've put on weight this month because I've been eating so much cake.
Craig said, I'm not going to Disneyland unless you come with me.
That's what you said. I'm not going to Disneyland unless Reza comes with me. So again, unless is the condition. Si no.
So unless you come with me, there's an adverbial clause about the condition. Unless.
So these adverbial clauses can come in the idea of contrast, cause and effect, condition. Let's look at some more linkers. I think we've spoken in the past about in spite of and despite, but let's look quickly one more time at those two linkers. They're quite popular. Mm-hmm. I bought an iPhone in spite of the price. A pesar de. Mm-hmm. In spite of the price, I bought an iPhone.
Yeah. Technically speaking, in spite of and despite are not followed by adverbial clauses, but don't worry about that. It's not necessary to think about that. Technically, in spite of and despite are followed by nouns, or you can use a verb in the ing form, but you don't use a subject and a verb with in spite of or despite.
For example, Reza arrived on time despite missing the bus. Because missing is a verb, to miss the bus, it must be a gerund after despite or in spite of. If it's a noun, there's no problem. Just put the noun. In spite of the price. In spite of the weather. But if it's a verb, it must be gerundio.
Instead of is similar. It's followed by a noun or a gerund, gerundio, gerund. For example, this year we're having roast lamb for Christmas dinner instead of turkey. Instead of turkey. En vez de or en lugar de.
Instead of. Although, aunque, although or though, even though, in spite of the fact that, a pesar de que, for example, although I was full, I had another piece of cake. I can also say, even though I was full, I had another piece of cake. Or, though I was full, I had another piece of cake.
Although all of those words are possible, can you see any difference between the three?
Well, they're all followed by complete sentences.
Mm-hmm. But I mean in the meaning. I would say that they have slightly different uses. I mean, they are interchangeable. But for me, even though is more emphatic than although.
Yeah, I agree.
If you say even though, you're emphasizing the contrast. For example, even though I gave Berta everything, my money, my time, my love, even though I gave her everything, she gave me nothing in return. Even though, let me stress that contrast.
Poor old Reza.
And what about the difference between though and although? I would say though is a little bit more informal.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that. Be careful of the spelling and the pronunciation. It's very strange. T-H-O-U-G-H. And the pronunciation, though. The same vowel sound as go or throw or no.
And those words can go at the beginning of a sentence or they can go in the middle. So we could say, I had another piece of cake, although I was full. It can go the other way around as well. And the same for in spite of the fact that. In spite of the fact that the neighbors were making a noise, we decided to record this podcast.
Luckily, they haven't been making noise today. Yesterday, there was banging and noise next door. I thought, oh, no, we're going to... I wrote that sentence thinking we were going to be recording with the neighbor's noise. But luckily, they're not making noise today. Though can also go at the end of the sentence in informal English. For example, Reza loves Berta. She rarely thinks about him, though.
So though at the end, more informal. You cannot write although at the end or even though. Only though can go at the end. The other two words can't.
I'm sorry, we don't have any chocolate cake. We've got some biscuits, though. Let's look at some more conjunctions, like, for example, however, sin embargo, nevertheless, or nonetheless, no obstante, and even so, aún así. Where do these go in a sentence?
Well, usually they go at or near the start of a sentence. For example, I was really tired, full stop, punto. That's the first sentence. And then we take a new sentence, and at the beginning... Even so, I decided to go out for a beer. So we need two sentences there to show the contrast. And even so, or however, or nevertheless, or nonetheless, go at the start of the second sentence, followed by a comma.
Right. And in Spanish, you'd say sin embargo or aún así in this meaning.
Could you give the listeners an example with however?
I'm on a diet. However, I can't lose any weight.
Yes, it's true he's on a diet, but I think you are losing weight, Craig. Do you think you're not?
Yeah, I am. That was just an example.
Just an example. Let's be positive. So Craig's example is perhaps exaggerated. What about nevertheless or nonetheless?
So an example with nevertheless, I didn't like the price. Nevertheless, I bought it. Or I didn't like the price. Nonetheless, I bought it. And those words come together. It's one word. Nevertheless, todo junto. Nevertheless. Nonetheless, nonetheless. Se escribe todo junto.
In this case, we are not joining three words up like we do with connected speech. Do you remember the topic of our last episode? We talked about different words seemingly getting joined together, but they're not really. Actually, nevertheless is one word, which is comprised of three, but it's written together with no space because it is one word. The same with nonetheless. So you can and you should write them together and you should pronounce it quickly. Nevertheless, nonetheless.
That's right. And one more thing, in informal English or spoken English, you can put nonetheless or nevertheless at the end of the sentence. For example, I didn't like the price. I bought it nonetheless. Or I bought it nevertheless.
Craig, what about the word while? While can refer to time, no? While Craig was looking for the dark chocolate, Reza was preparing the coffee. So the two things are happening at the same time. But is there another meaning of while?
While can mean mientras que, the same as whereas. So you can put these words at the start of the sentence or in the middle of a sentence. For example, our last podcast was really interesting, whereas this one's a bit boring. Or, whereas our last podcast was really interesting, this one is a bit boring.
Whereas or while. Yeah, so while.
Mientras que.
Yeah. While can replace whereas.
Another linker that's very useful, on the one hand and on the other hand, which in Spanish translates to por un lado, por el otro lado. Which is confusing because many of my students mistranslate that to say on one side.
Yeah, mine too. Mine too. Typical
it's
mistake.
On one hand. Yeah. Por un mano.
Yeah.
Can you think of some examples with on the one hand or on one hand, on the other hand?
Yes, we could say on the one hand, I think that technology has helped society in the areas of health, work, education, etc. On the other hand, we might be too dependent on technology and maybe too addicted to it as well. So we have the two sides of the argument, on the one hand, on the other hand. Actually, you can leave out, you can omit on the one hand. You can just begin, I think that technology has helped society, blah, blah, blah. On the other hand, you don't have to put them together. You can leave out the first bit, on the one hand.
So another example, let's have a break now and have a cup of tea. Or on the other hand, let's finish this podcast first. Al contrario, in English, on the contrary. For example, some people say that people can't change. On the contrary, I think they can. Mm-hmm. Which is very similar to por otro lado.
Yeah.
On the contrary, I don't agree.
But I wouldn't say it's exactly the same as on the other hand. The on the contrary specifically means it's the opposite idea. Mm-hmm. You can't just interchange on the contrary with any expression. For example,
right.
It was raining. However, we decided to go out. You can't say on the contrary. Because going out is not the contrary to raining. So you can only use on the contrary for two contrary ideas, not for general contrast. It has to be specifically for two country ideas.
What if I said, for example, we should cancel our trekking to the mountains this weekend because rain is forecast? And you say, on the contrary, we've got good clothes, they're waterproof, we should go.
Yeah. You say, don't go, I say, go. So it's two opposite ideas. Whereas some of the other expressions like however, although, etc., or have a more general use for any kind of contrast.
We can also use linkers to add information with words like moreover, además, furthermore, besides, in addition to, also además, as well as, apart from, aparte de, what's more, además, lo que es más, or y encima, on top of that, además, as well, and to, which is también, at the end of a sentence. Let's give some examples.
Craig, además de las palabras que has dicho, ¿hay otra palabra que significa además? Además de las que has dicho. There are 20 million ways of saying además in English, in other words. It's true, isn't it?
It's true, yeah.
There are millions of ways of saying además. It's true.
So many different ways to say además.
There are more ways, además, but we're not going to tell you because we think that's enough.
How do you teach these to your students? Do you give them all of these and say choose the ones you like? Or do you... Because I mainly teach FCE, you teach a lot of advanced and proficiency, so obviously you're teaching them more of these linkers, right? To vary and give a good variety of linking devices.
Yeah. Because in Cambridge exams, first certificate of advanced proficiency, they are completely obsessed with linkers, and they oblige the poor students to use far more linkers than anyone in real life would do. So they have to. It's true, isn't it? On top of that, they have to use a variety and they have to use them. Well, I think for more advanced students, you got to know which are more formal and which are more informal. For example, moreover, furthermore, in addition to, tend to be formal, don't they?
For FCE, they have to know the difference too.
Yeah. Whereas what's more is nearly always informal. Apart from could be either formal or informal, no?
Yeah.
And as well or to could be formal or informal, no? Mm-hmm. On top of that, informal, I'd say. But yeah, they all mean además. It's true.
Let's look at some examples. In addition to jazz music, I also like rap.
I don't. There we disagree. Craig speaks for himself.
I remember I have to educate you about rap. Besides music and podcasting, what other hobbies do you have at the moment?
So besides music and podcasting...
Do you have any other hobbies?
Correcting Cambridge exam writing tasks.
That's a hobby.
It's kind of an obligatory hobby I have. All my free time goes on that at the moment. So do you notice that in addition to and besides are not followed by clauses? They're followed by... noun phrases, jazz music, or they could be followed by ing. Besides looking for dark chocolate in strange places, Craig also podcasts. So you can use an ing.
Yeah, my hobby is finding interesting places to hide my chocolate. What about this example? It's a nice day for a walk. And besides, I need the exercise.
In that case, it's very important to punctuate correctly, because I need the exercise is a clause, subject verb, you must put a comma after besides. Besides, comma, I need the exercise.
It's like almost an afterthought. Yeah. Piensas después añadirlo. And besides, I need the exercise.
So it isn't besides I need the exercise. It's besides,
comma,
pause, I need the exercise. So, for example, if you were doing a first certificate exam, if you forgot that comma, it would definitely be regarded as a mistake, quite a big mistake.
More formal linkers, like furthermore, for example. I think you owe me an apology. Furthermore, you need to apologize to my wife.
What about this one? Your company did not inform us of the building work in the hotel. Moreover... no compensation was offered.
So that's a formal además, isn't it?
Yeah. Two reasons to complain.
Mm-hmm. Both of those are fairly formal. Furthermore and moreover. I think you'd write those more than say them, wouldn't you?
Yeah, or you might say them, but only in a very formal context. You wouldn't speak to your friends like that, usually.
Let's look at an example with as well as, which is a bit more common in spoken English. Juan was at the meeting, as well as Sarah and Maria. Apart from Spanish, Reza also speaks French, n'est-ce pas?
Comme si, comme ça. I'm still carrying on. This year I'm in a B2.1 French class, but I'm a very bad student. I've missed some classes. I've been very busy. All my time is spent correcting Cambridge for certificate and advanced exams. I have to even miss my own French class. Terrible.
So that's another hobby you've got, languages like French. I mean, well, apart from music and podcasting, you're studying French.
That's true. When I can go, I go to class. Yeah.
So apart from, aparte de, what's more, here's an example, he's ugly, and what's more, he's not very nice. That's not about you, Reza.
Craig is so cruel to me, I was going to say. He's so cruel.
Not you.
I know it's true, but you don't have to tell the listeners that.
He's attractive, and what's more, he's a wonderful podcaster. An example, give us an example with on top of that, which is also Adamas.
What a day. First, I woke up late, then the car wouldn't start, and on top of that, I dropped my phone and broke it.
This is more common with lists, isn't it? Something that's really frustrating, something that, I should say, put the nail in the coffin, or something, the last thing that really pushed you over the edge. Yeah.
The last straw. El colmo, as they say in Spanish.
The straw that broke the camel's back.
There's another very common Lincoln expression, which goes at the end of a sentence. She likes tea. She likes coffee as well. Or she likes coffee too. The difference between as well as and as well or too, as well as must go in the middle or the beginning of a sentence. To go back to our previous example, Craig said, Juan was at the meeting as well as Sarah and Maria. As well as. But at the end of a sentence, it's just as well. She likes tea, she likes coffee, as well.
So with as well as, you have to have something.
Yeah, it goes in the middle or the beginning.
You have to have another noun.
Yeah. Or an ing, yeah.
Or an ing.
Whereas as well or to go at the end of the sentence.
Mm-hmm. So I could say I like football, I like rugby as well.
Yeah.
Or, as well as rugby and football, I also like tennis.
Exactly.
We can also use linkers to show consequences and results with expressions like, surprisingly, as a result or as a result of, which would be debido a or como resultado, como consecuencia. Then there's therefore, which translates as por lo tanto, por eso. Consequently or as a consequence, en consecuencia, y entonces, y por eso. And for this reason, all of these expressions with their translation can be found on our webpage at inglespodcast.com/133.
Could you give an example with as a result, Craig?
Reza and I work very hard on this podcast. As a result, it's becoming one of the most popular learning English podcasts in iTunes.
It's true. We're not exaggerating. We're pleasantly surprised. You'll see that we come near the top of many lists, don't we?
We do. And for this reason, we meet regularly to record more podcasts. It encourages us to keep recording podcasts.
And how much do we charge you for listening to our podcast? Nothing. Zero. Despite the effort we make, we ask you for no money.
In spite of the fact that... here's a famous sentence. I think, therefore I am.
Ooh, profound, Craig. Very profound. But who said that?
But when you, I think it was Descartes, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But when you translate it into Spanish, it's pienso luego existo, which luego is after, isn't it? Not
but
therefore.
No. Luego can be a translation of therefore.
Therefore, can it?
Yeah.
Okay. I've learned something.
Yeah, can be.
So therefore, also consequently is a linker with a result. For example, I wanted it. I wanted the shirt. I wanted the phone. Consequently, I bought it.
With these word, with many of these expressions, as a result, therefore, consequently, usually they begin a second sentence to show the contrast with the first. However, you can have therefore in the middle of a sentence after a comma. And also, if you don't want to have a second sentence, you can put a semicolon, that's punto y comma. Yeah, but generally they tend to start a second sentence.
Can you think of an example with the linker for this reason?
Yeah, I don't think I can help you develop this product. And for this reason, I'm out. I'm out means I'm not interested in your product.
Have you ever seen Shark Tank?
No. What is it?
It's a program for entrepreneurs who need funding and money to promote and to make a product or a service that they have. So they have to make a short presentation in front of a group of millionaires and experts in business. If they like the product, if they like the service, then they buy some of the company in return for promotion and money. So it's a very common sentence. I'm a big Shark Tank fan, and a lot of the answers, if they don't like the product, oh, I'm really sorry, I can't help you with this product, it's not for me, it doesn't fit my business, and for this reason, I'm out. So then they don't continue to negotiate with the entrepreneur. So for this reason, y por eso. We can also use linkers to show reasons and causes with words like because or because of, which is a causa de or debido a. Then those words like as and since, seeing that, on account of, due to, D-U-E, due to, debido a. For example, due to the fact that, debido a que, owing to, or owing to the fact that.
Let's look at an example with as, since, or because, which have the same meaning as linkers. We could say, as Craig loves Mickey Mouse, he wants to visit Disneyland Orlando. As equals since equals because in this case. There are other meanings of as and since. Obviously, don't forget. For example, I have lived in this country since I was 10 years old. Since there is a time expression. Or Craig is fun. Reza is fun. Craig is as fun as Reza, we could say. Yeah. As. That's not the same meaning as these words, as and since, meaning because. So they have other meanings.
Multiuso.
Can you think of any more?
Well, did you give three examples of me and Mickey Mouse with as, since, and because?
Oh, I'd better give another one. Because of Craig's love for Mickey Mouse, he wants to visit Disneyland Orlando. I changed there a little bit. The first one was because Craig loves Mickey Mouse. Because Craig loves. Craig loves. I have a subject and verb. It's a clause. But if I say because of, it's not a clause. Because of Craig's love for Mickey Mouse, that's the noun love. So it's a noun phrase. So because of, it's easy to remember because when you have a preposition of, to, with, for, it's always followed by a noun or ing. That's a general rule in English. It's a good rule. It helps you with sentence structure and there are no exceptions. When you put a verb after preposition in English, you cannot write subject verb. It must be ing form or a noun. So because of followed by a noun or an ing, not a clause.
And in your example, you can substitute because for since, right? So you can say because I love Mickey Mouse, I want to visit Disneyland. Not true, by the way. I can also say since I love Mickey Mouse.
So or because, as.
Or as.
But you cannot substitute since or as for because of.
Right.
That's different.
That's clear.
But there are other ways of saying because of. Can you think of any other ways of saying because of?
Well, because of can have a similar meaning to on account of or owing to or due to. For example, because of our sponsor, Italki, we are able to continue with the podcast. Or on account of our sponsor, or owing to our sponsor, or due to our sponsor. So, Reza, would this be a good opportunity to speak about Italki?
Yes.
Due to the fact that they're our sponsor?
Yes. Because of Italki's sponsorship, we're able to continue with the podcast without going bankrupt. We're very glad that Italki are our sponsors because we think it's a very good service. They give a very effective one-to-one personal teaching service online. All the teachers can teach you their native language, and you can choose your teacher according to a profile which you can find on Italki's website. Different teachers charge different prices. It depends on their profile. It depends on their qualifications. It depends on how much experience they have, etc. So it's very affordable. You can find cheaper or more expensive teachers according to what you're looking for. And as a special offer to EnglesPodcast.com listeners, if you join up with Italki through EnglesPodcast.com/Italki, they will give you 100 credits, which will be enough for you to get your first lesson free. And you can see if you like it. We're sure that you will. And you can continue. Give it a go. Craig and I would like to say thank you to Italki for sponsoring Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig. Craig, let's do a few more linking expressions.
Yeah, it's interesting to compare these two uses of due to. Listen to these two examples. We didn't record podcasts yesterday due to work. Sentence number two. We didn't record podcasts yesterday due to the fact that we were both working. What's the difference between those two sentences?
Due to is followed by work, which is a noun. But due to the fact that is followed by a clause. We were both working.
And that's a mistake that my Spanish students are constantly making when you use, when you need to follow this with a phrase, you need to use due to the fact that. When it's just a noun, it's just a noun. Due to. Due to the weather, due to work, due to the cost, etc.
And it's the same for owing to or because of. If I say owing to work, we didn't record yesterday owing to work. No subject verb. But I could say we didn't record yesterday owing to the fact that we were both working.
Exactly the same. And owing, O-W-I-N-G, to owe, remember, is deber. Right. Debido a.
Debido a. Another expression similar to as or since is seeing that. Seeing that we're hungry, we should break for lunch now. Seeing that, mm-hmm. or because, we could say. So seeing that is a more informal version, let's say.
Right.
Another way of giving explanations, as in seeing that because, is with the expression in order to. But in order to is basically just a more formal version of an infinitive to. You can also say so as to. These are conjunctions to explain the purpose of something in order to and so as to. They're more common in written English. Could you give us an example, Craig?
You could say, for example, Reza and I started this podcast in order to help you improve your English.
Are there any words you could leave out of that sentence?
You could just say, use the infinitive, to. So Reza and I started this podcast to help you improve your English. So that's the infinitive of purpose. You can say, I opened the door to leave the room, or I opened the door in order to leave the room.
So in order, more formal. And so as is also followed by an infinitive, we started our Patreon program so as to be able to pay for full transcriptions for these podcasts. So as to.
Go to patreon.com/ingles for more details of our Patreon program. All the same, de todas formas, or a pesar de todo. For example, they offered to pay me 30 euros per hour. But I turned down the job all the same. To turn down means to refuse. I refused the job all the same. How would you translate that into Spanish?
De todas formas.
De todas formas. I turned down the job all the same. We can also use some linking words to show the order and sequence of things. And you may have heard these before if you've ever written essays and writings for a Cambridge exam. Words like first of all, firstly, to begin with, to start with, in the first place, en primer lugar. And then as you're listing your points, you move on to en segundo lugar, so second or secondly, third or thirdly. For sequencing, después de eso, después, use after that or then. Or next, which is luego. And then finally, lastly, por fin, por último, finalmente, finally and lastly. And then there's last but not least, por ding, último.
Ding, 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 ding. That's an alarm bell going off. Last but not least. Don't write that unless it's necessary. I get so many writings back saying, there are many things we must consider when talking about which type of shoes we want to buy. Are we going to be running? Do they need to be good for running quickly? Do they need to be light? Or do we want boots? Because, you know, we're going to be out in weather where it might be raining. But last but not least, it's a bit exaggerated. So it's talking about a pair of shoes.
It's being overused then, yeah. You think.
Because it's quite dramatic.
Yeah.
That's the one thing to remember, but last but not least. It's quite dramatic, or to show that something's important.
I use that a lot if I'm listing people's names and I don't want people to think that the last people on the list have less importance.
Precisely.
So if we were thanking our sponsors, poor old Manuel Tarazona has been last on our list for a while. So we could say thank you to all our sponsors, Raul, Rafael, Daniel, and last but not least, Manuel.
Yeah, just to show that he's equally important.
Yeah.
But because it's necessary to stress that. But my students often overuse it. You know, they think, oh, it's just for sequence. So how do you make a cup of tea? You boil the water, you put the tea in the teapot, add in the water, leave it for a while, then you pour it into the cup, and then finally you add a drop of milk. Last but not least, put in sugar if you... Nah.
Not necessary.
Last but not least, no. The sugar... being added to a cup of tea, we know that all aspects are equally important. That's a misuse of last but not least. It's being over dramatic about making a cup of tea. So last but not least is to be very emphatic about the fact that all things are equal, or that perhaps even this last one may even be more important than the others.
So in that example of the tea, you'd use lastly, finally, yeah, or in the end, al final, yeah, in the end.
But last but not least is not a good expression for boring things, for everyday boring things. It's not good.
So Reza, let's look at some linking words and expressions for summarizing. What can we use to summarize things in English?
Well, some of the most popular ones are to sum up. In short is common as well. And particularly if you want to end what you're saying or writing in conclusion.
Yeah, in conclusion. So all of those in short, to sum up, in conclusion, in Spanish we would say en resumen, para concluir, resumir, etc.
So, Craig, can you think of any more common linkers for summarizing?
Well, there's all in all, A-L-L-I-N-A-L-L, all in all, in suma, for example. All in all, I think this has been a very informative podcast. All in all, all in all. Again, the pronunciation, because it's an L sound followed by a vowel, all in, it's all in. All in all. Any more?
In brief is similar. In brief, so brief means short, not long. So in brief, in resumen, or en breve, you can say in Spanish as well. In brief.
And another one, in short. En resumen, also, in short. In short, let me say that it's been wonderful to see you again, for example.
Or another one is on the whole. That's whole, W-H-O-L-E, not H-O-L-E, W-H-O-L-E, on the whole, en general.
Mm-hmm. Can you give an example?
Yes, I like paella, arroz a banda, arroz al forn, arroz del señoret. On the whole, I like rice.
It sounds like you do. So, in short, I think that's the end of the podcast, unless you have any more expressions you'd like to share?
No, I can't think of any more.
Okay. So we'll leave it there for this week. All in all, it's been a pleasure to speak to you and help you with these linkers. If you have any questions, any comments about this podcast, please let us know. You can reach us on SpeakPipe. That's speakpipe.com/Inglés podcast and leave us a voice message. And you can send us an email to me, Craig@InglésPodcast.com.
Or to me, Reza, that's at BelfastReza@gmail.com.
So thank you for listening. Before we go, just a reminder to remind you, you can visit our Descargas store, our download store at store.mansioningles.net. And there you'll find courses, paid courses that you can download to your computer. And Reza, let's thank our wonderful Patreon sponsors who are...
Thank you to those people who are paying their donation so that perhaps one day we'll be able to get all of our show notes translated. We're working on it. Thank you in the meantime to Lara, Carlos, Lara, Mamen, Juan, Sara, Corey Finnery from IVNV Podcast, Manuel, Jorge, Raul, Rafael, Daniel, Manuel, and Maria.
Yes, we have a new sponsor. I don't know if you noticed. Marielle Riedemann.
Yes, I was going to say Marielle. That name doesn't look familiar.
So last but not least, Marielle Riedemann, thank you for joining our wonderful group of sponsors. And I did get an email from someone last week asking me how to join this Patreon program. You can go to Patreon, patreon.com/Inglés podcast, and there you will find all the instructions of how to donate and join our Patreon supporters. On next week's episode, we're speaking about feelings in English, feelings vocabulary. So until then, it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from me.
The music in this podcast is by Pitts. The track is called See You Later.